Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I am the host of the podcast. I'm also the writer behind the blog. This week's episode features another blogger who I really admire. She chats a lot about veganism and living a minimalistic lifestyle. She's actually one of the very first bloggers that I have ever followed. I can't think of a better word, but I would say religiously. I always check out her posts. I find them so interesting. I love her recipes. I love the products that she endorses. She's just a really kind and genuine soul. And her name is Joanna Roque. And her mission is basically just to provide people with information on healthy vegan recipes, cruelty-free alternative products, and giving guidance to those interested in minimalism. Her journey is so incredibly inspiring, and actually, I'm pretty sure that as we speak right now, she is in Dubai with her boyfriend. They're traveling, I think, for his job, so that's super exciting. You should definitely head over to her Instagram, which is The Soulful One, and check out her journey. I will leave that information in the show notes like I always do. In this episode, we actually chat a lot about her YouTube video that she will be debuting. And when I was discussing with her what date I was going to actually launch this episode, since I pre-recorded it due to my pregnancy, she said that she was going to bring all of her equipment over to Dubai so that she could actually record a lot about, especially the veganism lifestyle, because she said that was pretty popular over there. So that's really exciting. I'm interested in watching those videos as well. And I want to mention before we jump into today's episode that I am a beauty counter rep. And if you don't know what beauty counter is, basically it's a clean beauty company, and they advocate for stricter beauty laws and regulations down in Congress. I love their products. I find all of them to be of such high quality. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an affiliate. I actually sat on becoming an affiliate for about a year because I just didn't want to be associated with any MLMs. I feel like there's a lot of negativity that surrounds them, but I finally gave in because I was like, you know what? I love the products. Why wouldn't I endorse them on my blog? I buy them anyway. I literally buy so many of their products anyway. And I only chat about the products that I love and I adore by them. So with that being said, any purchases that you make using my link, I really appreciate it. It literally just goes right back into Bring Your Own Kombucha funds that I need to pay for my website or to pay for podcasting and all that good stuff. So if you make a purchase, use my link, send me a message, let me know. I totally, totally, totally appreciate it. And without further ado, let's jump into Joanna's episode. Hi, everyone, and before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout-out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding, so you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. So let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions. And it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies. But because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook, and again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized, and Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Joanna, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy we were finally getting to chat.
I know, I'm really excited.
So would you mind just giving a brief background about yourself for those who don't know you?
Yeah, so my name is Joanna, and I am 30 years old, the big 3-0, and I lived in San Diego my whole life up until 2 years ago, and then I moved up to Los Angeles, and I've been in the animal field as far as working as a technician and then as an animal officer for the Humane Society for about 7 years total. And then other than that, you know, besides living a vegan diet, I pretty much go to church and I love hiking, the outdoors, and I'm a big, like, family-oriented person, so I definitely love to spend around, like, my family and my cousins and being able to spend time with them. So I am pretty much just enjoying my time, like, here on this earth, like, just wanting to be around people that I care about.
I love that, and I love that how well-rounded you are. I'm even more jealous that you're in California your whole life. How freaking cool is that?
I know. It's awesome. You get, like, all the seasons in one area.
So jealous. Okay, so let's chat about your journey with veganism. When did you become a vegan? And actually, before we even go there, would you be able to elaborate on what exactly veganism is for those who, you know, might not understand the difference between being a vegetarian and vegan and all the different diets?
Yeah, of course. So veganism is basically nothing to do with any animal-related eggs, honey, milk, as well as it also stems down to clothing as far as vegan leather, shoes, belts, handbags. Even it goes as far as not purchasing anything that makeup related, if it's, you know, tested by animals. Certain brands do test on animals. So basically anything that has to do related to animals, being vegan, you stay away from. Versus vegetarian, you're able to have dairy. You're able to have honey and eggs. And if you choose to wear anything leather related, like that's also a choice as well.
So when did you decide to become a vegan, and why did you decide to become a vegan?
So it all like came down to just one day I was just flipping through the channels, and I noticed a documentary popped up, and it was regarding animals and as far as how they are treated and how they are put on your plate, basically. That documentary definitely did scar me. I started then binge watching on different documentaries, Forks Over Knives, Conspiracy, Cowspiracy. And I started just really like, wow, like this is what I'm doing to my body and this is what I'm doing to animals because I want a hamburger. And it all started about 10 years ago, and I started my journey off being vegetarian because I wasn't sure yet what veganism was about when I first started. And then I was vegetarian for five years, and then 5 years ago I became vegan. I made that transition. I wanted to like just have that dedication of fully transitioning. So it'll be 10 years this July actually coming up. So that will be my big 10-year anniversary of living the plant-based lifestyle, basically. But, I mean, it just – documentaries really hit hard for me. And then just reading books and really starting to research as far as, you know, how much we're doing to produce, you know, your ribs and, you know, mashed potatoes on your plate.
No, I totally understand that. And I feel like there's a lot of different reasons why people become vegetarian or vegan, whether it be for health reasons or, as you're describing, more of an ethical reason. I had a friend who was vegan, and she firmly believed that if you're putting, you know, animals into your body, that's bad energy. So hers is like more of a spiritual reason. So
yeah,
I find it really interesting, and I can totally relate to the ethical part because I don't eat a lot of meat, maybe like, you know, once or twice a week. But every time I see like a picture on Facebook or just any, you know, documentary, like you're saying, flipping through the channels, like my heart just breaks. I'm like, oh my God. Like once you actually think about what you're eating, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult and it really like hits you hard. And, you know, my mom even told me when I was a child, like I wasn't really able to digest meat as well. And I was constantly getting heartburns every single day. And ever since I transitioned to the plant-based lifestyle, I noticed my clear got clear, like my skin got clearer. And I did lose a little bit of weight, as well as I just felt better, more energy. And my glow in my skin was a little bit more vibrant. And I just noticed a lot of these changes. And I'm not going to, you know, I mean, a lot had to do with, you know, major lifestyle changes, like not eating out, not going and getting processed food. And, but you know, I did so much damage to my gallbladder because of the constant eating burgers or chicken nuggets or eating meat that I ended up having to get my gallbladder removed. And so I feel like this lifestyle did save my life in a way, because it was just making me like sick all the time. So, I mean, it definitely, it could be a number of reasons.
So how did you exactly shift over to becoming a vegan? And like, what would be your recommendation to people who wanted to also make the shift? And did you make the shift like all at once, like an all or nothing kind of situation? Or did you like slowly become a vegan?
That's a good question. It's super hard for me personally to have gone cold turkey as far as like all in. I wish I had that strength. I've seen people do that and I admire that so much. For me, I had to do it differently. I had to flirt. I like to say flirt with food. So basically, you know, taking away my cheese and, you know, trying to find a vegan cheese, buying four different kinds and seeing which one I liked. I would transition my meals. Like once a week, I would take out my vegetarian dish and make a vegan dish. The second week, then I would add a second dish that was vegan. And then I just kept doing that, where finally it was 7 days of meals being vegan versus vegetarian. So I definitely always recommend to just play with food, flirt with food, and just experiment and just enjoy it and have fun. Don't feel like it's something that is going to be difficult or a stressor, because, I mean, it's something you should do because you want to. And it was easy for me once I started finding the right foods I liked. I will admit, not all vegan food is good. So there is some stuff that is just doesn't taste good. So that's why it's important to just, you know, dabble. 1 week, focus on the cheeses, and the second week, focus on the milks and find what works for you.
I would imagine it makes going out to eat a little bit difficult as well, because you have to, one, plan ahead, maybe check out their menu, I guess, and two, you don't always know what, you know, how a certain food is being made. I mean, they could be cooking anything in animal grease or, you know what I mean? So I would imagine, have you found any difficulties like going out to eat and being vegan?
I have. There's been so many times, and that's why I like to stick to just going to vegetarian vegan restaurants. You know, I've gone to like Benihana's, and, you know, they're really good about, you know, catering to veganism and making stuff that doesn't have, you know, egg or chicken in it. But one time I was biting my fried rice that had no egg, no chicken, and there was a piece of chicken.
No.
And so it was like, I felt like I had just done something horrible. Thankfully, I didn't eat it, but I noticed it when I was putting the fork to my mouth. So it is hard, because you have to worry about those things. You have to worry, like, are they cooking my vegetables where they cooked, you know, the chicken stir fry? Like, you know, it's not as easy. Thankfully, a lot of places are now starting to change the way, they are making their food. I mean, there's definitely been an increase, with the high demand of vegan food in restaurants and even fast food. So for instance, like Chipotle, is easy for me to go there with my boyfriend who's not vegan. He can get what he wants and I can get what I want, because they definitely separate it and there's no contamination with the sofritas, which is vegan, versus like the chicken or any of that. So, I mean, you can make it work if you go to the right places, but going to like a Chili's or a TGIF Fridays or something, it's going to be a little bit more challenging, because you can't really trust the fact that they're not going to be sharing the same grill as your black bean burger versus a beef burger.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. And especially because, like, where I live now, it's a very, like, trendy-ish area. But I know where I grew up, we didn't have any vegan restaurants in the area. And I'm sure there are many parts of the country that don't have that option as well. So it's good to know that places like Chipotle, which are all over the country, are very accessible for vegans.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many more places now that are just recognizing the lifestyle. I don't like to call it a diet. I do like to call it a lifestyle. For a while, it was known as like a diet or a fad or like a phase. Like it's something that's going to go away. And it's, you know, I don't see it as that, oh, this is my diet. I'm vegan. I like to say I'm plant-based. I like to say, yes, I am vegan. It's my lifestyle. And it's something that, you know, really has changed the way I feel overall, internally and externally. And, you know, I did the research, you know, how much do I save, you know, as far as being vegan? What have I done? And in 10 years, I've saved, me personally, being one person, I've saved 4 million gallons of water and 109,000 square footage of forest, which is used for livestock and for feeding crops, and then 3,650 animals.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
I know. And it's just like the little impact that you can do, you know, having this lifestyle is amazing. That, you know, what you're saving to the, in the world, it goes beyond just, you know, not just, but it goes beyond saving, you know, a pig or a cow. It goes into the environment as far as water you're saving, forest that you're saving, as well as gas and oxygen, all of that. You are saving so much. And even in one day being vegan, you can save 1,100 gallons of water, and you're saving one animal just for being vegan one day.
I love that. So those are great facts.
Yeah. That's why I always say, like, you know, I choose everyone's lifestyle, the way they eat. I know there is that, you know, consumption of everyone who's vegan is very judgmental and opinionated and will judge you if you're not vegan. And not every person who has that vegan lifestyle is going to make someone who's not vegan feel like they're less than. I always say you do what makes you happy, what makes you healthy. And if you choose to, you know, follow the vegan or vegetarian path, do it because you want to, that because it makes you happy. So I always, you know, tell people, if, you know, whatever you need to learn, if you want menus or recipes, you know, that's something that I can definitely provide. You know, if you just want to go vegan one day. Recently, my parents just decided to go vegetarian, and it's been about 3 weeks and they're loving it. And I'm just like, will it stick? I don't know. They're trying it out, so I can't get my hopes up. But it's just little things that I, you know, talk to about people, and it just, it makes me feel good when they actually listen and they take that initiative to want to, you know, try it.
I love that idea that maybe even just going vegan, like, you know, 2 days a week will make such a great impact.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you follow this blogger, but Jordan Younger of The Balanced Blonde, she used to be the blonde vegan, and she was a vegan for a long time, and then she had a couple of health issues. And I know it, sometimes with vegans, there's like an issue with, I guess, protein, not getting enough protein and things like that. Have you incurred any health issues since becoming vegan, or are there things that you do preventatively, like take certain vitamins and things like that to aid in your lifestyle?
Yes, and I actually do follow her on Instagram. I love her.
Me too.
As far as protein intake, there's just so many different ways to get your protein. That you can get your protein in tofu. You can get them in broccoli, in kale, as well as beans, lentils. There's just so many different ways you can, you know, make sure you are getting your protein. It doesn't necessarily always need to be from a meat source. And as far as any health issues, I did become anemic right away. Mm-hmm. And that was due to my iron being really low. And I wasn't, when I first started off, I was kind of just going all in, like, I'm going to be vegetarian. And I was eating, you know, a lot of pasta and a lot of bread, and wasn't really considering, like, I need my leafy greens every single day. And, you know, I started taking iron supplement, and within like a month, my, you know, my iron levels went back to normal. So you really do have to watch out for your iron intake, for your calcium intake. You want to make sure when you are substituting your, you know, your milks for almond milk or soy milk or hemp milk, or whatever it may that you choose, you want to make sure that there is vitamin D and calcium. There are a lot of, you know, alternative milk brands out there that don't even contain vitamin D or calcium. And that I just learned that, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, so you're telling me I've been drinking this brand of milk because I thought it had calcium and it didn't. So you have to, and then you can also get it from like your yogurts, you know, your coconut yogurts or your almond milk yogurts. You know, so it's calcium and iron are always my two make sure you have daily. Now I just take an iron pill as needed. I take it maybe like once or twice a month. And I do make sure I check my blood levels at least every 6 months to make sure I'm doing okay, that there's nothing, you know, low. So protein wise, it's super easy. I actually just made a little like cheat sheet chart on my Instagram, you know, to show people, because that's like the number one question I get. You know, how do you even get enough protein being vegan because you're not eating meat? And there's just so many different, you know, chia seed, flax seed, pumpkin seeds, you know, there's just so many different alternatives, and to make sure you are getting all your nutrition.
That's so funny that that's your number one question, because I don't even know if I get enough protein and I'm not vegan. So it's funny that people would ask that.
Yeah.
What are some resources for people who may want to look into veganism? Do you know any blogs or podcasts or any books that you would recommend?
Yes. So I love Forks Over Knives. They have an amazing documentary on Netflix, as well as they have an easy cookbook at the bookstore. It gives realistic recipes. You know, simple ingredients, nothing where you're going to be like, where do I get this ingredient? And it's all stuff you can get at your Ralph's or Whole Foods. And they really make you want to like eat, you know, a vegan, a vegetarian lifestyle. So Forks Over Knives is an amazing resource. Cowspiracy is great for, you know, statistics and facts and really understanding, you know, A to Z, what goes on in, you know, the animal, you know, the animal field as far as how it gets to your plate. So that's a great resource for facts, I feel, which also they have a documentary on Netflix, and Cowspiracy.com gives all amazing info that I follow. And then I do follow on Instagram, and she has a YouTube video. Her name is, I don't know if I say it correctly. It's Kale or Kaylee. She is awesome. And she is relates a lot to just like the average vegan. You know, she does a lot of healthy recipes and a lot of junk food recipes. So she makes it very easy for someone who just wants, you know, their, you know, she makes really good chia pudding, also how to make easy, you know, vegan burgers. So, I mean, this YouTube is just huge for vegan bloggers, that, you know, you can just, you know, put it on and start cooking and you'll whip out whatever they are creating with you.
Speaking of YouTube, why don't you tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel that you will be launching soon? Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah. So, yes, my goal is in April for me to launch my first video. It's going to be a YouTube channel based around veganism, minimalism, also cruelty-free and vegan products. My YouTube channel is The Soulful One. And I just want to basically be someone that can share recipes. I want to do cook with me. I'm not a chef by all means, but I do love cooking and I feel like it is therapeutic and it's just fun. I, you know, I cook, I might burn a lot of stuff half the time, But I keep going because I want to learn how to make my own foods, and I want to share people fun recipes that I come up with. And also with that, I want to talk about, you know, the minimalism portion of how to live the best life possible with owning less. And, you know, it is something that has made me so happy, you know, internally, and I want to share that with everyone else who may be interested or who's never heard of stuff like that, and then sparks an interest.
So let's talk about the minimalism for a little bit. I feel like prior to knowing you, of course, and a couple of other people that I've stumbled upon on Instagram, like Kashley Kutrin, who, you know, she sold all of her belongings, quit her, you know, six-figure job and is traveling the world right now. And Align with Allie, who was also on the podcast, her episode will be coming out soon. Her and her husband just quit their jobs and bought a van, and they're going to travel the country, and they're adopting this minimalism lifestyle. But before this, I literally thought in order to be a minimalist, you like owned one outfit and lived in like, you know, a box and owned one cup. And, you know what I mean? I feel like that's the vision that a lot of people get when they hear minimalism. So can you just describe to me what you, what minimalism is to you?
Yes. So for me, being a minimalist is not about being restricted or limited. For me, it's just about what's really important. At first, it started with things. As far as, do I really need this? Do I use this? When's the last time I used it? Do I have something similar with the same purpose? And all of these, you know, and then you start eliminating one by one. So it's just about, you know, owning less, having that freedom of not feeling so confined with all of these objects around you. And I, you know, when sometimes people hear the word minimalist, you know, like you said, they think, you know, you live in this box with nothing, and it's not at all like that. It's something that truly, I can say, kind of was that key to my freedom and my happiness. And it's helped with my stress. It's helped with my anxiety. And it's really helped with my relationship as well. So there's so many things that will factor into saying you live a minimalist lifestyle.
I find it so interesting because everybody who I talk to who follows the minimalist lifestyle, which I say follow the minimalist lifestyle, but I think to each individual person it needs something different. But everybody I talk to, they say, I feel so much lighter. I feel so much you know, I feel the weight being lifted off my shoulder. Like the less I have, the more fulfilled I have. And I feel like that's also what you're getting at as well. It's like you don't need all of these things cluttered around you to feel fulfilled. I know personally for me, I am more of a minimalist when it comes to like my home. I don't like stuff everywhere. I don't, you know, I don't need like 20 things hanging up on our wall. I just like, you know, a plant, one picture frame and here and there. But when it comes to my closet, that's where I can become minimalist. Oh my God. I need to learn how to become minimalist when it comes to my closet, because I probably have like 10 orange shirts and 10 pairs of black jeans. So can you help me figure out how do you create this minimalistic lifestyle? How do you know like what you need and what you want?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I think us being women, we all have that issue with the closet. I had it for a long time because you don't want to part ways like with some of your stuff. And, you know, you want to look different each time. But as far as, you know, learning what you need and what you don't need, I kind of made that simple 3-box rule, which I did get from the minimalists. It's you know, a box for donation, a box for selling, and a box for trash. They have a different approach as far as boxing everything up for 30 days and everything in your house, and basically going through the boxes every single day. If you need something, you take it out. Their approach to me is a little bit more extreme. I think that's more set for people that are, I want to say, hoarders.
I would even say, like, people who can work from home, because I feel like if you are, you know, going to your 9-to-5 every day, or, like, you going to a hospital, I feel like that's really difficult.
Exactly. That didn't seem realistic to me, so then that's where I came up with the three-box approach as far as, okay, this way seems a little bit more realistic to the average person that does have that 9-to-5 job. And, you know, after just sitting down and watching that documentary, you know, I told my boyfriend, I'm like, we really need to get on this because we have so many stuff that we don't use or need. And we both did it, and it took a whole day, but we managed to do it. And, you know, each item, we took our time. We said, when's the last time we wore this? I had a dress in the closet that I hadn't worn for about a year with a tag on it. So I was like, I'm never going to wear that. So I put it in sell. And, you know, it all comes down to, does it bring value to your life? You know, does it have meaning to you? If it has value, it has meaning, then keep it. Do you need 10, 12 cups in the kitchen? Not necessarily, unless you always have dinner parties or you know, have a family of 12. So we actually only have 4 drinking cups in the house. And then we only have 4 coffee cups in the house because we do have family that comes over. So we didn't want to just have 2 of each. That was a little extreme. But then, you know, we go through the kitchen and we're going through all the plates and the bowls and, you know, the pots and the pans. They all come in sets of like 20 for, you know, plates and bowls. And we got rid of half of it. And now we only have, you know, 4 plates and 4 bowls. You know, we want to make it as easy. It's just too much unnecessary stuff. The kitchen was pretty easy. I mean, do we really need, you know, 10 utensils of the same one as far as spatula goes? I'm pretty sure spatulas all work the same. So we would get rid of the 4 we had and we keep 1. So it's just all about balance. You know, when it comes to the closet portion, I just say, you know, I like my basics. I downgraded my closet so much where I only have 2 pairs of jeans, which is a dark version and a light wash. And, you know, they're set for 2 different purposes. And, you know, I have 2 pairs of leggings and I do have some dresses, and I don't want to limit myself, but I don't feel like, do I really need, like how you were saying, you have probably like 10 pairs of the black jeans, and it's, you know, they all have a different style or cut to them. So it's hard for you to part ways. It's easy. I've learned how to make, you know, 5 different outfits with the same jacket, shirt, tank top, and jeans. It's all about like wearing it differently and, you know, styling it differently. So it's pretty easy once you get the hang of it, but in the beginning it can be stressful because you're looking at everything like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all of this stuff? And once you start going, it just becomes like this like game. You want to keep going. And, you know, I finally got down to having 2 sneakers, 1 pair of boots, 1 pair of sandals, and my closet looks very bare. But it works for me because I do work, you know, 10, 11 hour shifts at a hospital where I'm wearing scrubs half the time. And, you know, or if I'm not at work, I'm in gym clothes, you know, working out. And so it's just like, I had to get rid of half the wardrobe that I never wore.
Bravo to you for doing that, because I feel like that would be so painful. I mean, like excessively long, painful. Like, to just go through my closet would probably take freaking hours. So, I mean, for you to minimalize like that is amazing.
It was hard. It was hard. There was a few pieces where like, oh, I really spent a lot of money on that. But, I mean, yeah, I had to do it because it was just going to sit there and collect dust, basically.
No, that's definitely the smartest way to approach it. What are some resources that you used or that you recommend to people who might want to dabble in some minimalism?
So The Minimalists on Netflix is an amazing documentary. They really go from, you know, the beginning to the middle to the start to the ending of how to really transition into that lifestyle, the overall focus on choosing that lifestyle. They also have a series on YouTube as well that does different segments. You know, they're about like 5 or 10 minutes, but they touch base with, besides the objects, it's also... you know, as far as your lifestyle, your happiness, and it kind of goes deeper from the surface. They also, you know, on Instagram have amazing, you know, live chats where you can ask them questions. They're really good about responding to all of their, you know, followers. So that's like the main resource I tend to follow. There's also another blogger. She's the Minimalist Co. She has amazing resources as well on YouTube. That's her YouTube name. And she gives you tips and tricks on how to minimize your bedroom, your living room, and all of that, and shows you like a guide to as well. So, I mean, it's just, there's so much out there now with minimalism. I feel like it is growing, and I feel a lot of that has to do with the Minimalists who came out with their documentary a couple years ago on Netflix. And since then, it's skyrocketed. And they are one of the reasons why I also really got into it and why I want to start, you know, talking about it on YouTube as well.
I can't wait to watch your YouTube videos. I feel like you are such a wealth of information when it comes to veganism and minimalism. Literally, all of your Instagram posts are so informative. I'm like obsessed with all your tips and tricks.
Thank you.
So what I was going to say about the minimalism also is that I feel like capsule wardrobes are becoming like very popular as well, which kind of attributes to the minimalism lifestyle. Do you have a capsule wardrobe, or did you just kind of like go through your closet and create your own capsule wardrobe?
I kind of just, yeah, went through my closet and created my own. I have heard of that, and I was like, oh, wow, like that's really neat. That's something that now, I mean, I kind of wish I like would have known. But I kind of just went into my closet and I was just like kind of going and making my own and really trying to figure out my outfits and what, you know, I need them for. But that is something I noticed and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I love how things are starting to pop up and just kind of like be modified to all these different lifestyles. I also feel like I would also imagine that because you are purchasing less, you're able to buy more quality items because your budget has dramatically gone down. Have you found that that's also like a perk of being a minimalist?
Yes, extremely, because me and my boyfriend would constantly every weekend go and shop and go buy, you know, I was really into Nikes. I'd go buy my Nikes. He'd buy his Jordans and, you know, clothes and just stuff for the house. And then when we changed to this lifestyle, we've saved so much money. And you know, it helps when we really do want something. It almost feels like an award, like a treat, like, you know, and we don't mind if it is a little bit more expensive because we've saved so much money not purchasing clothes every weekend or purchasing, you know, new pillows for the couch or the bed, you know, just, you know, for decorated or, you know, it all also like you save so much as far as not only money wise, but also you save time too. Instead of going to the mall and going buying stuff, now we do more stuff that are productive with our day. You know, as far as spending more time with each other versus, you know, going to the mall and purchasing a whole bunch of stuff.
Now, what about like birthdays and holidays? Do you find that to be even stressful at all? Because you know, you're trying to buy a practical gift, or do you guys not do gifts?
So we talked about it, and we now decide to do stuff that truly is something that we really want. We give a list of, you know, a couple of things that we really want, and we kind of stick to that list. We are actually going to start a new tradition next year for Christmas that no gifts. For family and, you know, friends, a little bit different. We're starting to give more meaningful gifts rather than just a gift for because. But as far as our new tradition in our household, we don't want to buy gifts. We want to rather, you know, go on a mini vacation or, you know, go treat ourselves to a massage or something. We want to do stuff that has value versus just going into this craze during the holiday time and just buying Christmas to, you know, to see who spends the most money, or, you know, buy an expensive gift that I may not use 5 months down the road. So, you know, knowing that we're both on that same level as far as how we work for gifts is really great. You know, for our anniversary that's coming up next month, you know, I told him I really don't want anything. I know anniversaries are meant for gifts. I said, really, all you could do is give me, like, my lighting ring for my YouTube, and that would make me happy. You know, it has a purpose. It's for my job that I'm going to be doing. So it is to know that we both are on that same level, because, you know, you're not, it does make it difficult.
I love that, and that's so practical, and you're right, like, half the time you get a gift for Christmas, and you think you need it, and then 5 months later, it's, like, sitting in the closet somewhere, and you don't even remember you have it.
Exactly.
So, I love the idea of, like, buying each other massages, or, like, taking a trip. Those are such practical and, you know, memory-filled gifts, as opposed to just items.
Yeah, and that's, you know, ultimately how we want to spend our time is, you know, with each other and making memories and traveling. We'd rather spend time, you know, traveling to a different city or, you know, to a different country versus buying all of these things. Because if you stop for a minute and add up everything that you're saving by not doing, that's a trip alone.
Absolutely. I totally believe that. So do you have any other tips for someone who wants to become a minimalist?
My tip would be to not get stressed out and not overwhelm, and just take your time with it. You know, for me, it was more of a one day type of thing. But it was a progress. It was something to slowly get into because you start learning more each day. I would, you know, just give yourself, you know, a week or two, and each day move on to something new. You know, one day work on the kitchen, next day work on the living room, next day work on the room, or you do one thing a week, because you can get stressed out super fast, especially if you have a lot of stuff. And, you know, once you hit that, like, oh my gosh, this is so much, you're going to block, you know, all of that and just not, you're going to give up and not want to continue with that type of journey. Make a list of, you know, everything that you have in your closet, everything you have in your bedroom, and really start determining, like, is this important? You know, ask yourself those questions, like, does it bring value? Does it bring happiness to my life? Is there a purpose of why it's here? And do I have more than one of the same thing? And really start to question each item. And I know it might sound like a little silly, like, oh, you're really going to question a pair of shoes, but it's going to help make that decision super easy for you. And it just, I mean, basically take your time.
I feel like that's such a great approach to trying to clean out your house. I know when I shop lately, I do obviously a lot of my shopping online. And before I purchase anything, I like put it in the cart and I wait a day. And then I go back and I'm like, do I really need this? I mean, but, you know, I'm like, let me take it slow. Let me not just blow through, you know, a $200 online shopping spree. Do I really need it? Let me think about it. And half the time I like forget about it for days. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I wanted to buy this. So yeah. I feel like that approach to really like take it slow and really think about it is really practical.
Yeah. And I love that you do that. You like think about it. And I always say that too. Like I've learned, you know, when I'm at Target, especially because Target, you can go from
the worst. Eating
napkins to all of a sudden you spent $200.
Yeah.
I've learned to really just appreciate objects. And, you know, that's what I say to myself when I'm at the store and I'm seeing like a brand new, especially Pottery Barn, because I'm obsessed with that place.
I notice
that they have a new, you know, table or, you know, a floor mirror. And I'm like, I can appreciate that item. It's beautiful, but it doesn't need to come home with me. So I've learned to just love it and then walk away. And then if you're still thinking about it a week later, go back to the store and buy it because it's still on your mind. You still want it. You know, if you are going to go to like Home Goods, for instance, is huge. I don't know if you have a Home Goods in your area.
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately.
That place is my other home. And, you know, if I know I'm going there for something, I have to really look at my house before I leave and be like, do I really need anything else? You know, sometimes it's fun. You go there and you find something that you really need. But half the time you just kind of go just to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the same thing with Target, like you were saying. I mean, I go into Target for like one thing and I leave with 12 things. And my husband's like, where were you for an hour and a half? And I'm like, oh, Target.
I know. I used to go like 3-4 times a week. It was bad. And now I go once every like 2 weeks. I've made a huge improvement, because I would spend a lot, but it does, you know, I think once you enter Target, you like are like suddenly brainwashed, I feel.
Totally.
You have to buy everything.
It's like when you're like at the casino, even though I hardly ever go to the casino, but there's like no windows, there's no clock. I feel like that's how Target is for women. It's like, you just get lost. You get lost. You don't know what time it is. You can't see the outside. You just keep shopping.
Exactly.
So I do have one more question for you. And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, I love the Guava Goddess from, it's the GTS brand. The Guava Goddess is so good. That one's my favorite. And then there's a blueberry mint. I forget the brand. But that one's really good too.
I've actually never had the guava one, but I have had like a blueberry basil before.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed with blueberry. I don't know why. Even like this whole pregnancy, that's the only thing I've been craving is like blueberries. And I'm really sad that I can't have any kombucha.
Oh, yeah, because there is that percentage of alcohol in it.
Yeah.
So. 9 more months.
Right?
You can have a kombucha.
So where can everyone find you on social media?
At The Soulful One. So that's my IG name, and that's where I give tips on veganism, recipes, and then also tips on minimalism and decluttering.
And is that the same for your website and YouTube?
Yes. And then also my Facebook page too.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It was amazing to be on here and chat with you.